We looked at when we become members of the church. And what we saw in Scripture is that we become a member of the church at the point of regeneration. Okay? And we also become added to the church at the point of regeneration. So God saves us and he adds us to the church all in one fell swoop. The next thing that we looked at, and this is on the bullet on your handout, was we looked at the general purpose of the church, okay, from a high level, and saw that what we do is we come in together like we're doing right now. We preach, we teach, we pray, we fellowship, and we eat. But we come in, and we come in for the praise of his glory, and then we go out into the world, and we penetrate the world with the love of Christ and the gospel. So that's a very high-level view of what the purpose of the church is. And then we also saw that while the world has community, we have the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is a living organism, which is immensely valuable and a blessing that we have that goes way beyond man's community. So again, the world has community, we have the body of Christ, and we need to focus as we live our life in Christ on that body portion. And remember that we actually do far surpass anything the world can do with community. Okay?
Amen.
We ended last week by me mentioning that there's one really huge key truth of Scripture that describes the church, and we'll look at that this week. Right now we pick up. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, I just thank you again, as Tracy said, for this day. I thank you for all of who you are, your great and glorious person. Lord, I just pray that you would guide us into all truth right now. Help us to love you and to glorify you as we get to know you. Guide us now, we ask, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's hand out some verses. Jude verse 3. Brent, can you get that?
Sure.
John 18, 37 through 38a. Dave, could you read that?
Which Dave are you looking at this day?
He's hiding.
Good luck.
John 18, 37 through 38a, and then 2 Timothy 2:15. Eric, can you get that? 2 Timothy 2:15, and then Titus 1, 5 through 9. Don, do you want to read that? So we're going to refer to these things. So so last week, I ended, like I said, by talking about one really huge, great portion of Scripture that sometimes gets bounced over. Okay, if you look at 1 Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And if you look at verses 1 through 13, Paul is instructing Timothy on the requirements of overseers and deacons. And Paul says, in case he's delayed in coming to Timothy, okay, which he states in verse 14 to 15. Verse 14 and 15, he says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And then, if you look at verse 16, he wraps up the section, okay, with describing the mystery and godliness, the mystery of godliness and the glory of the person of Christ. And we've heard that verse preached on and taught on quite a bit. We've heard verses 1 through 13 and even 14 taught on quite a bit. What we often blow over a whole lot is if you look at verse 15, he says, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. The pillar and support of the truth. So this is a very, very important definition of the church that instructs our purpose. When we're talking about the purpose of the church, and we read here that we are a pillar and support of the truth, this is huge, okay? Support, if you look at the ESV, and I read NASB, by the way, so if you guys all have ESV, you're going to hear little differences here and there, but support is translated as buttress in the ESV, okay? And in Webster's, I looked it up, and Webster says a buttress is a projecting structure for supporting or giving stability to a wall. So if you look at the church in a sort of a corny analogy, you could look at, you know, here's the foundation, here's the truth right here, okay? We are the church, we're the church holding up the truth as a buttress. So we're a support of the truth, okay? Another passage describing this is, look at Jude 3, verse 3, whoever's got that. I think Brent had that.
Jude 3. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints.
Right. So, again, we are a pillar in support of the truth. And Jude verse 3 says we are to contend for the faith. Okay? When you stop and think about it, why are we even doing this lesson, this series, on the doctrine of the church? Doctrine defines who we are. And if we're going to be a pillar in support of the truth, we have to know what we believe. We have to know how to disseminate that, okay? And we need to contend for the faith, okay? Doctrine, like we said before, is, think of doctrine is like the bone structure. It's the DNA of the church, okay? Doctrine these days is getting sort of poo-pooed, like it's too deep, it's too irrelevant, things like that. And a lot of churches, thankfully, a cornerstone, it's not. And that's the whole purpose of today's lesson, is we need to be a support and a pillar of the truth and support that doctrine. Okay, doctrine is a huge issue that we need to understand runs who we are. When you stop and think about it, go ahead.
I was watching TV and commercial from the Methodist Church, like what is church, and it is nothing that we have been talking about. It's more the community helping others work.
Based. Right.
So even churches are not necessarily looking at the biblical doctrine of what is the church. They kind of redefining church. That's
correct.
What commercial itself says, redefining church.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to really touch on today is, this is rampant, okay? We don't see it at Cornerstone, thankfully, because we have a biblical church, but this kind of thing of community and come to church for community and so forth is rampant. The thing we have to understand, and this sounds sort of elementary, but think of this deeply if you can. We in the church claim to know the only truth that there is.
Amen.
We talk about all kinds of other religions that are not biblical. We can talk about atheism. We can talk about, you know, Burke did a whole series on apologetics and, you know, engaging with the world and so forth. When you stop and think about it, we claim to know the only true truth that there is. So when we say that we're a pillar and a support of the truth, and we're going to talk about this some more, but you got to grasp the gravity of that.
Right.
You got to grasp how important that is. We don't come to church just to hear Pastor Bob and hear teachers and so forth. We're going to talk about this more. You guys and me and Pastor Bob and everybody, we are pillars and supports of the truth. We've got to understand how important that is. What that's going to do is it's going to define who you are as a believer, and it's going to, it should impact how you view your life in Christ and your walk with Christ and how you commit to studying the scriptures. Okay. In fact, even Larry was telling me this morning that last night when we got off the phone, he wanted to watch a hockey game and all this. And it just the conversation, it just got him thinking. It's like, I got to get in the Word. So he got in the Word and he studied the scriptures. We need to focus on that. And again, please don't over, like, let this blow over your head. We are the only people who claim to know the truth. That is huge.
Yeah, Mike, one of the points of 1 Timothy 3:15 is that he's you know, further back, he's talking about false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing that to light as opposed to the false teachers.
Yes.
We are the buttresses.
Absolutely.
The
yep. Thank you. And then, yep. And we're gonna hopefully, probably not today, but next week we'll crack that open a little bit. Pilate said in John 18, whoever has that, John 18, 37 through 38a.
Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this end I have been born, and for this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no crime in him.
So Pilate said, very mockingly, What is truth? You tell me, what is truth? Like, give me a break, okay? You can go into any university today. You can go to any public school today, okay? You can hear the exact same thing.
Amen.
Very cynically, very negatively, what is truth? Like, give me a break, you know? Well, we, the church, you guys, are the pillar and support of the truth. Okay? A.W. Pink, in his book, I'm still getting used to like how to use this square footage up here. A.W. Pink, in his book, The Divine Inspiration of the Bible, he addresses this really well. I'm going to read you like one page. I'll do it sort of quickly. But listen to the way he puts this. Christianity is the religion of a book. Christianity is based on the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. The starting point of all doctrinal discussion must be the Bible. Upon the foundation of the divine inspiration of the Bible stands or falls the entire edifice of Christian truth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11:3. Surrender the dogma of verbal inspiration and you are left like a rudderless ship on a stormy sea at the mercy of every wind that blows. Deny that the Bible is without any qualification the very word of God, and you are left without any ultimate standard of measurement and without any supreme authority. It is useless to discuss any doctrine taught by the Bible until you are prepared to acknowledge unreservedly that the Bible is the final court of appeal. Grant that the Bible is a divine revelation and communication of God's own mind and will of men, and you will have a fixed starting point from which advance can be made into the domain of truth. Grant that the Bible is, in its original manuscripts, inerrant and infallible, and you reach the place where study of its contents is both practicable and profitable. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of the doctrine of the divine inspiration of Scripture. This is the strategic center of Christian theology and must be defended at all costs. That's what we just read. It is the point at which our satanic enemy is constantly hurtling his hellish battalions. Here it was, he made his first attack. In Eden, he asked, Yea, has God said?
Yes.
We just heard, what is truth? Okay? And today, he is pursuing the same tactics. Throughout the ages, the Bible has been the central object of his assaults. Every available weapon in the devil's arsenal has been employed in his determined and ceaseless efforts to destroy the temple of God's truth. In the first days of the Christian era, the attack of the enemy was made openly, the bonfire being the chief instrument of destruction. But in these last days, the assault is made in a more subtle manner and comes from a more unexpected quarter. The divine origin of the Scripture is now disputed in the name of scholarship and science, and that too by those who profess to be friends and champions of the Bible. Much of the learning and theological activity of the hour are concentrated in the attempt to discredit and destroy the authenticity and authority of God's Word, the result being that thousands of nominal Christians are plunged into a sea of doubt.
Amen.
Many of those who are paid to stand in our pulpits and defend the truth of God are now the very ones who are engaged in sowing the seeds of unbelief and destroying the faith of those to whom they minister.
Right.
But these modern methods will prove no more successful in their efforts to destroy the Bible than did those employed in the opening centuries of the Christian era. As well might the birds attempt to demolish the granite rock of Gibraltar by pecking at it with their beaks. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119. So that's a very eloquent way of putting what we're talking about, which is the importance of the truth. And again, since we're sort of out of time, and I'm going to pick this up next week, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth.
Jesus is truth.
Jesus is truth. I am the truth. John, I think it's John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. We are the pillar and support of the truth. I'm going to end there. We'll pick up next week. But please, what I want to just sort of sink into your brain, at least, to think about this week, is when you think about the church being the pillar and support of the truth, sometimes it's easy for us to think, you know, the church, and we think of it as like this object, or we think of the church leadership, we think of, you know, the pastors and the evangelists and so forth, and the church and organizations and stuff like that. You sitting in that chair, literally, every one of you that's born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a pillar and support of the truth. What you do with the Word of God, your study, your prayerful study, is the only truth this world knows.
That's right.
Where you live.
And how that manifests itself in your life. Absolutely. But I want you to just grasp that. We'll pick it up next week. You are the pillar and support of the truth. Think about that as you go into this week and as you read or don't read your Bible. Okay? So, Father, we just thank you again for this day. I know it's sort of abrupt because we're out of time, but that's okay, Lord. You're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. And we have eternity to be the church. So we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your direction. And we just pray that we would glorify you today, glorify you this week, get into your word this week, and become pillars and supports of the truth. So, Lord, we just thank you and give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Mike, the Gettys are on public television tonight. I think it's 6.
Okay.
PBS.
Okay.
Oh, I had to get that out.